Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the BNBlitz.com Daily Drive podcast. My name is Paul Peck with Kevin Sylvester. We're from BuffaloSportsPage.com. The offseason is officially underway, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, a little overview on what the offseason is going to be like for the Bills. Best place for you to keep track of everything that goes on during the offseason is the BNBlitz.com. All the information, all the latest on the draft, prospects, free agency, everything is there for you. If you're already a subscriber to the Buffalo News or to BuffaloNews.com, you get access to the BNBlitz.com for free. Well, Kevin, the season is over. It doesn't take very long for everybody to start thinking about what's going to happen next. The NFL offseason, I think to some degree, can be more interesting and exciting than the season itself. I also feel like sometimes people are more interested in the offseason and all the speculation that goes along with it, even more so than the actual things that happen in front of their eyes, which are the games themselves.
Yeah, it's it comes to such an abrupt end, right? I mean, all that hope and it's gone, and you know, you start moving forward and immediately, right? I mean, they signed all these players to practice squad to reserve futures contracts and just start getting things going, and then immediately, you know, you look at bonuses in the off season. You look at all right, who's
a free agent, who's not, who are you going to bring back, coaching staff changes, you know,
restructuring contracts, all these things that go into it. There's a lot to happen.
One thing that I thought of, and I think I feel like we need to caution people a little bit. This team overachieved this year. I mean, let's be honest with you. And I would love that if you ever got Sean McDermott here and told him to be totally and completely honestly, he'd say there's no way we thought we would get this far this year. But what that means now is it has raised the bar of expectations. And to be honest with you, there's generally in football, in every level, there's always a bit of a step back in the second season because Sean McDermott's going to make some more dramatic changes because he has a vision that I don't think has changed very much from when he got here a year ago, even though the Bills made the playoffs this year. And it may look at times like it doesn't make any sense because, oh my goodness, it's a playoff team. But again, I think Sean McDermott is aiming higher for a wild card one and done playoff team. And he's going to make some moves here that I think are going to belie what people think, which is, oh, they're already a 9-win team on the brink of the playoffs. And I don't know that they're quite there yet. And I think he'll make moves that will surprise people.
Yeah, I agree. If they're going to trust the process, they need to stick to the process, right? And the process was accelerated greatly, at least this season anyways. But if they're really going with the process, listen, they know what they have.
They don't have.
And yeah, I guess more importantly, what they don't have, and you saw in the playoff game what they don't have. They don't have, I think it's perhaps a little bit more than a quarterback. They need an offense. But they don't have a few things that are necessary to contend, and that's what it's all about now, and that's what it should be about now. That's what Bills fans should be thinking about. Okay, I want to get back to the playoffs. Listen, it was great to get in. I personally, I wrote this on Buffalo Sports Page that, look, I'm with McDermott. There's more victory here. Could have won the game. LeSean McCoy, same thing. They could have won the game. So, you know, there's sting in that. And there are some Bills fans that have sting in that. Some of you listening, like, yeah, they could have won that game. Your standard has gone up. You just don't want them to make it next year. You want them to advance next year. You want them to start. And then a lot of things are going to have to be done. They don't have the personnel to advance in the first round right now. They just proved that, by
right.
The way.
And again, the same reasons we talked about the Bills being one of eight teams that made the playoffs this year that didn't make it last year could very well be the reason why they're not one of those teams next year. You know, again, I think, you know, I would hope, and I think Sean McDermott now hopes that he can make the right adjustments that keep this thing moving forward. But there was not that step back this year that sometimes needs to happen in order to propel your team forward. And I'll be curious to see whether that's going to happen. But that's a long way down the road. Again, I think there's going to be some dramatic lineup changes and moves this year that, because you couldn't do everything last year, as much as they came pretty close to it, you can't do everything. So there's going to be some of those this year. There's going to be some moves made to get the cap in the right place. Whether there'll be coaching changes or not, I don't know. That remains to be seen.
A lot of fans want one.
Well,
made, right?
I know they do. And I have no idea whether he is completely and totally committed to keeping Rick Dennison and some of the other offensive coaches, or whether he saw things that he didn't like this year. I don't know. I really don't know. But coaching changes are inevitable in the NFL. It happens every year. You know, again, this offseason to me starts and ends with what are you going to do at quarterback? And we're going to talk a lot more about that, particularly in tomorrow's edition of the Daily Drive podcast. But that will determine what they do in the draft, what they do in free agency. Are they going to trade up to get a quarterback? Then now you're not going to have all those picks to use on a linebacker and a wide receiver and a defensive tackle. If you don't trade up to get a quarterback and you sign one in free agency, now you do have five picks in the first three rounds to be able to fill some of those holes.
Which is pretty tempting. I mean, you know, having five picks in the draft.
Not for me, it's not.
Well, I know it's not, but it's pretty tempting if you can get a quarterback, Kirk Cousins, for example, if you can bring him in, if you're willing to pay him the money, if you think he's the guy, it, again, depends on your process, what the plan is, and if the plan changed. The plan is allowed to change, but I doubt they veer greatly off that plan because of
right.
because of what you mentioned. Because
the plan is getting you to the point where you can compete to be a Super Bowl team. That's the plan. That's not going to change. However they determine they're going to get there may change, but that plan itself will not change.
They had a team that played to their fullest potential, and that's rare in sports. Usually that's you can only say that about a team that won the Super Bowl. They reached their full potential. The Bills team reached their full potential. They were outscored during the regular season. Their point differential, wasn't it, minus 50?
Yes. Among one of the worst ever for a playoff
game. And they made the playoffs. That the game against Jacksonville is just like the second game of the season against Carolina. It was a carbon copy, almost, right? So those two comments don't go together. Carbon copy and almost.
Right.
I know that doesn't make sense.
Most of the people listening have no idea what a carbon copy is. So
that is also true.
Yes.
Right? If I
yes.
said ditto machine, would it be? No, same deal. But anyway, we've seen that movie before. We're tired of seeing that movie. And, you know, the movie's good enough defensively, but offensively it's not. And he's got to find a way to balance keeping that defense. And it's not like the defense is flawless. They need a pass rusher.
No.
Paul, they need a pass rusher.
Yeah, so here you're on to the next topic, which is what are some of the needs that jump out at you? And I think you start let's go back to the offense. Quarterback will hold our discussion for tomorrow, but you have to get better at the position. You need a backup running back. You got to get a young Alvin Kamara like legs to help to back up Shady McCoy. I assume Shady's going to be back. I don't think his production was there. His salary isn't out of control, so I think he's back. I'm okay with Zay Jones and Kelvin Benjamin as two of my top three receivers. You need a speed guy. You need a guy who can stretch the field. That goes without saying. I'm on the brink of wondering whether I really want to keep investing in Charles Clay or not. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. Even when he stays healthy, he doesn't make a huge impact. If you can go out and get a young athletic tight end and at least have a better backup than Nick O'Leary, I'm okay with that too. Are you keeping Richie Incognito? If not, you got to fill the guard spot. Deion Dawkins looks like he's a lock for the left tackle. Cordy Glenn, they're probably going to figure out a way to get rid of. I think you can think about upgrading on the right side of the line too. So there's your offensive needs.
Yeah, I think two offensive linemen are in order. I also think you can't. Well, for Benjamin's having knee surgery, right? It's been reported.
Yeah, but it's not ACL knee surgery.
But it's a surgery again. Clay knee injuries again. I don't want to rely on guys with bulky knees anymore. So you know you do have Benjamin next season under contract. So
correct,
he's around. Zay Jones, yeah, I think he's got a lot of potential.
He'll get better. He had a typical rookie year for a wide receiver coming from a smaller school.
I would like to see a burner. Absolutely, receiver-wise.
That's what you have, because you don't have that right now. Neither Zay or Kelvin are guys who stretch the field, and I think you saw how easy it was for teams to defend their passing game when there was no downfield threat.
Yeah, the toll dozer, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
they
need young legs. I'm watching that, and we'll talk about it in a moment. I'm watching the Alabama-Georgia game, watching those two senior running backs for Alabama, thinking, boy, I don't know where they are ranked amongst running backs, but if you can get one of those guys in the third round, bring it on. I would love to see that.
Yeah, they need a running back to help out McCoy. You know, plus he's, you know, you say, well, he's not a lot of miles on those legs. There's more
McCoy?
Miles on the legs. Yeah, no, I'm saying, yeah, there's a lot of miles put on
this
year.
He'll be 30 years old. Yeah, he'll be 30 years old. But you know, but the
because
performance
is still
there.
He's taken a ton of big hits, but he took some this year. So,
right.
Yeah, I agree with everything there. You know, O'Leary seemed to become more of a target in the passing game than Charles Clay.
That's not a good thing, I don't think.
I'm always going to root for him because he's the Golden Bears grandson. Right. I don't know if you knew that. I didn't know if you knew that, by the way.
I think I may have heard
that. But yes, no, they need They need a tight end threat. I mean, just look what Gronk does for the Patriots.
Travis Kelce at Kansas City. Right. I mean, the really good tight ends make a big difference when in an offense.
Jimmy Graham was good. Yep. You know? Yep. Yeah, you need a big tight end. Clay was paid to be that guy, but it hasn't panned out. So, yeah, I would not. But I think, cap-wise, it makes sense. I think it's nearly the same to keep him or cut him, so they'll probably keep him.
Probably. All right, how about on the defensive side? You mentioned, I think, a defensive tackle they need. A pass rush. Well, you mentioned pass rusher.
You need a pass rusher.
You know, whether Shaq Lawson's ever going to be that guy, I don't know yet. You know, I think we've talked about this before. He still does not have his Luke Kuechly at linebacker yet. You know, Preston Brown led the league in tackles, which is kind of an overrated statistic. He's good. I don't know that he's the athletic sideline-to-sideline middle linebacker that McDermott really wants. So how hard can they work to try to go find that kind of guy?
I wouldn't mind that kid from Alabama, by the way.
Any of those guys from Alabama. You know, and in the secondary, I think another corner could be, you know, would be needed to whether unless you're going to sign EJ Gaines, who I thought played really well.
I thought played well too. Yes.
You know, but the secondary's in pretty good shape. So the focus is going to be on the front seven, particularly at linebacker. You know, Milano, I think, gets one of the starting spots. Are you bringing Lorenzo Alexander back in what kind of a role? You know, there needs to be an upgrade in athleticism at linebacker.
Yeah, I agree. Speed. I think you'll want speed, you know, in the linebackers. And they need someone who's going to get after the quarterback consistently. Jerry Hughes.
Is Jerry Hughes on this team next year?
He had a disappointing season to me. I thought he was going to have a breakout year, and he had a very disappointing season. Only a handful of sacks.
He's a big money guy.
Money guy who's got to get it done. But he wasn't helped on the other side. You know, part of that is they could concentrate on him because there wasn't any pass rush coming anywhere else.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, you have the Williams situation with Kyle at defensive tackle. So they've got some holes to fill, I think, up front there. But it's an opportunity for Sean McDermott to get players that he wants in those positions.
Right. And we'll wrap this up by me saying this to you. All these holes are holes that need to be filled. But unless you fill the quarterback hole, none of it really matters to me. That's where I'm at right now. I don't want to hear about linebackers. I don't want to hear about offensive tackles. You watch. If the Bills can ever get a quarterback in here who is a legitimate top flight guy, everything around him will be better, including the defense.
All right. Well, you just killed my – I was going to talk about the placeholder, but – you know, for kicking game, but you don't want to discuss
I don't want
that.
To talk about that.
All right, we'll talk quarterbacks tomorrow, Paul.
Yes, we will.
Let's get to the two-minute drill.
The Daily Drive two-minute drill is brought to you by Experimac of Orchard Park. ExperimacOP.com.
And our friends at Experimac Orchard Park are ready to fix your device, your machine. You know, you got that nice new phone for Christmas and you put a crack in it already. They can fix it for you fast, efficiently, and won't cost as much as you will think at Experimac Orchard Park, ExperimacOP.com. National championship game last night.
It was a heck of a game.
Wow. You know, I hate college overtime, but
I
love the sudden death portion of it because it was like regular overtime in football where, boom, there's a touchdown, game over. Nick Saban. I was just talking about Nick Saban first. How many coaches would change not only their quarterback, but the SEC player of the year and yank him at halftime?
But how many coaches also have the ability to put in a kid who was the number one ranked recruit in the country as a quarterback? You know, now you start to hear that he has been doing that in practice all year long. It has been blown them away and how good he is. So it's not like all of a sudden just find me another quarterback to throw in. They knew what they were doing, but that doesn't take away from it being an incredibly gutsy move to make.
How about the pass there? Georgia, what are you doing?
Yeah, it looks like the safety didn't come over like he was supposed to.
He did not. I mean, you know, it's a defensive coach, and, you know, boy, they got burned. Much like, it was interesting, you know, they won in overtime against Oklahoma, Georgia did, and then they have it turned on them where they kick the field goal, and then boom, there it is, the touchdown to win the game from Alabama, which I hate that Alabama won the national title again. I hate it.
It gets a little boring. You know, you respect it, but now five for Saban at Alabama, six for him overall, tied with Bear Bryant.
It's incredible, though, the job that he did with that Alabama football team. They were the last ranked team in the college football playoff, and they go in and win again, and they do it with a freshman quarterback, which by the way, I don't know if you saw the interview with Tom Rinaldi for Hurts.
With Jalen Hurts, incredibly well handled. I don't know whether he's going to stay there or not, seeing some of the writing on the wall, but incredibly perfectly, I saw someone tweeted out, said, show this to every youth team you are involved in right now. Show them this interview.
The kid was all class. He was happy they won the national championship and happy for his teammate.
And that's great. And you know what? Here's another thing. I thought both quarterbacks, at times played Fromm for Georgia, played a little like a freshman in a big situation, made some bad decisions. The overtime decisions were awful by both of those guys. Fromm gets saved by the 51-yard field goal. The Alabama kid, gets saved by throwing the touchdown after taking the sack. But did you see how many freshmen were on that field?
Yeah,
I mean, it just tells you the kids are so much better prepared to come into that level of football out of high school with all the training and intensity and quarterback camps. And then I think that ultimately means that they're better prepared when they get to the NFL too.
And it means, and this is a foreshadow for tomorrow, so don't respond to this. Just take us out. But it also means, hey, 2 years, you'll get your quarterback.
There you go. All right, that's tomorrow's topic on the bnblitz.com Daily Drive podcast with Kevin Sylvester. My name is Paul Beck. Have yourself a great day.